In 1891, Fred and I took to bicycling, and our lives were greatly enlarged thereby. The so-called safety bicycle attracted my husband more than the penny farthing had, and the drop frame adapted it to the skirted sex. By means of these machines, we were able, in 10 minutes, to leave Manchester behind, and we scoured the Cheshire and Derbyshire lanes within a radius of 20 miles. There was only one other woman in our part of Manchester who took to bicycling in the same year, and I was frowned on by some of the college ladies, until royal ladies took to riding around a London park, and I was suddenly in fashion. Near Manchester, the boisterous mill hands would play pranks on me, linking arms across the road to upset me. The only way to cope with this was to avoid looking at them and putting down my head, charging full tilt when they would scatter. In London, bus drivers were not above flicking at me with the whip, and cabmen thought it was fun to converge upon me from behind. I was once pulled off by my skirt in a Notting Hill slum, and felt a bit scared till a bright idea struck me. I said to this loutish lad who had seized my handlebar, "I say, they seem rather a rough lot here. I wonder whether you would kindly help me out." He instantly clutched my arm with his hand and bustled along with great dignity, shouting, "Now then, make room for the lady, can't you?" He saw me through and helped me to remount with the recommended, "Away, quick!" And I did. My long skirt was a nuisance and even a danger. It is an unpleasant experience to be hurled on some stone sets and find that one skirt has been so tightly wound round the pedal that one cannot even get up enough to unwind it. But I never had the courage to ride in breeches except at night. Then, oh then, I sang jubilantly. What glorious rapture to be a he-man! In Dieppe we saw fashionable women in wide breeches, like Dutchmen, strolling about the casino grounds. But that fashion never caught on here. Our first machines had solid tyres and only one gear and no handbrake or freewheel. Yet we toured many miles on them. Some of our tours were in Norfolk and others in Warwickshire, the Western Highlands and Normandy. I never rode more than 65 miles in one day, but we used to do our 40 and 50 fairly often. Here again, owing to my husband's weak knee, I was not a great handicap to him. I gave up cycling after an operation I had in 1915, but the increase in motor traffic would, anyhow, have necessitated this sacrifice. I rode about the West End and the City of London a good deal and enjoyed the traffic. Once in Manchester, I was cycling to the Halley concert in which Joachim was to play, when in a congested part of Oxford Road, I espied him in a cab with two of my friends, to whom I waved my hand. In great apprehension, the kind old gentleman cried out, "But she will be killed! She will be killed!" Once I was returning from spending two sleepless nights in a caravan in Surrey, and I was so tired and absent-minded that crossing over from Trafalgar Square northwards from Charing Cross Station, I came into collision with a horse van coming south down the Haymarket. When I picked myself up, a policeman was already there with his notebook, and he seemed puzzled by the flood of assurance from both the van man and myself that it was entirely my fault. I could not decide whether he or I was going to cross first. So he asked me if I were hurt, and I said no, and he departed. The van man and I nearly embraced. I was much interested in reflecting on what my thoughts had been when I saw the crash was inevitable. The interval of time between my realisation of this and the actual impact seemed long. I thought, "Well, this is an accident. Now I know what it's like. Then, here it goes, get it over." I rode to Kensington with only one useful hand, and on cutting off my left glove, I found a very swollen thumb joint. I went at once to a surgeon who said he could do nothing with it while it was so swollen. So I kept it in a cold water bandage for a week, and then, as it was still in a very painful state, I went to a Manchester surgeon who remarked, "This ought to have been attended to at once. It's dislocated. You never know." This was the only accident I ever had that was due to my own carelessness, and I felt ever since the extreme danger that people incur who drive a car when they have been suffering from insomnia. One is apt to go mooning about. Unfortunately, though, one may and should refrain from driving a motor when one is not fully up to the mark. It is not possible to refrain from all walking on the roads unless one is in good athletic trim. This is a distinction which people are apt to overlook who are more desirous of blaming the other fellow than of finding a remedy for the present nightmare conditions of the roads.